VentureCast.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
There's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, I'm the founder, and my mission is to help ethical entrepreneurs and holistic healers to find their voice through spiritual coaching and podcasting. I'm honored to bring you the stories of those who create change through healing, kindness, innovation, purpose, and spirit. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us. Mervyn Reed Nelson is the founder of You at Yours, an emotionally sustainable photography studio. Breaking free from filters and Photoshop, Mervyn empowers individuals to embrace their natural beauty, conquer fears, and defy self-doubt through authentic photography. With over 600 transformative shoots, his passion for facilitating a safe space encourages the true essence of his subjects to come forward and be encapsulated, creating an undeniable and life-changing impact. I absolutely love this conversation with Mervyn as we shared a special moment, sharing the stories of how he captures a moment in time, changing perspectives to be free of judgment and fueled by freedom. Welcome, Mervyn, to The Ethical Evolution.
Hello, Bindi. How are you?
I am doing well. Now, you're joining us all the way from London in the UK. For those people who don't know what you do and who you are, can you go ahead and tell us?
Sure. So my name's Mervyn and I run You at Yours, which is a body confidence photography studio. Now, I have to sort of add to the end of that what that means, because a lot of people are like, I don't get it, right? So what it means is ultimately, it's a space where people are able to be themselves. Most of us love photos of ourselves when we're not aware that someone's taking a picture. And so the space creates safety, comfort, and confidence effectively. And then we capture that. So we get to show the rest of the world what you look like when you're not so focused on what you're looking like. In a nutshell, it's a lot more complex than that, but that's effectively it. It's learning to love who you are today. There is no filters, no Photoshop. It's really about self-acceptance. And I guess a sense of body neutrality as well, you know, just here's where I am. This is who I am. Let me see if I can leapfrog from here instead of trying to adapt and change and mold and fit into what society expects me to be.
And what you do is, it's pretty unique. I know a lot of photographers and it's pretty unique in what you do. How did you get into it? Because, I mean, like, I've looked at some of your portfolio, which is incredible, by the way. And we're not talking just, you know, your headshot kind of stuff. We're talking, like, full-blown kind of boudoir shoots and stuff like that. How did you get into it?
Sure. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys are like down there in Australia, but here, like, we're very self-deprecative.
It's, yeah.
Culturally, we put ourselves down a lot.
Yep.
Right? And so, which is by and large, you know, everyone's the same, except when you're a photographer, especially at weddings and events and as such, people will tell you very, quite easily to your face, you know, their insecurities, and it's a defense mechanism. They're basically saying, oh, mate, you want to stand back to get me in that lens because of how large I am and, you know, and so on. Right. And they're preempting what they think you're thinking about them by saying it first. You know, it's a defense mechanism. So you hear that 50 times in a wedding or an event and you're there trying, no, don't say that about yourself. I'm going to show you how amazing you are. And it's just emotionally draining. So I just took my attention away from weddings and turned my photography skills towards helping people see themselves and giving them a mirror that they can't argue with effectively, you know. Except then what I learned after a few years of doing this was actually it has nothing to do with the photos whatsoever. You noted about my portfolio looking amazing, and that's often the driver for people. That's the switch, right? They're like, okay, I want my photos to look like that. Except the confidence doesn't come from the photos. The confidence comes from doing the thing that scares the hell out of you, overcoming it, and then pushing past that, and then seeing actually, not only did I do the thing and I overcame the thing, but I succeeded. And here's proof in the form of photographs. I maintain many people could have the experience and never see their photographs and still have a greater degree of confidence in their bodies.
Yeah, and I know some of the shots that you've taken, Mervyn, very, very artistic, but, like, there's full nudes there. Like, there's women that are full nude in front of you and you're taking those shots. How do you get them to such a place of comfort when they're so vulnerable?
Firstly, listening. Like, and also, let me go back. Long before that, it's complete transparency. So I teach nude photography. I also mentor photographers. And what I say to all of them is to stop being so fixated on the output. You're so stressed about what the photo is going to look like. You want to know what camera to get, what lens to get, what SD card should I buy? There's a person sat opposite you right now who is scared out of their mind, right? The idea of having their photograph taken. If you spent a bit more time sat, listen, talk to them, get your photography skills all sorted and lined up long before you even enter that space, right? And then give them all of your attention and let them know that you're there in order to help them get to where they want to be. So I guess people come to me because I'm very transparent in everything I do. My website, my Instagram, people often tell me they think they already know me before they meet me. And so you start there, and then you meet them, and, you know, like, again, everyone that I work with, I have a consultation with, right, on the phone or Zoom call, and when they come in, we sit and have a coffee. It's not a case of, all right, Bindi, coming in, right, top off, let's go, you know, none of that, okay? Like, it's really about making them feel seen, heard, comfortable, and then eventually they just become not even comfortable with the space. Liberated, I'd go as far as saying. It's a bit like a roller coaster. The analogy we use here is you're queuing up to get on the roller coaster. You're at the back of the queue now, so you're feeling fine. But when you get to the front of the queue, the nerves are going to kick in, right? And then you're going to get on the roller coaster and you might text a friend being like, nice knowing you. This is the last breath I'm going to take. You know, the terror. Honestly, Bindi, I see it. These people are nervous as anything about coming into this space, and I totally get it. And then the ride starts. And then before you know it, you're actually enjoying it. You're actually loving that sense of liberation and being at one with your body and moving without having to be so stressed and scared about what it looks like or how this bit's moving and what this person's going to think of that. And at some point, someone's taking photos of you. And oftentimes, you don't know when that's happening, just like a roller coaster. And then you get off the roller coaster, you tell your friends, you should do this. It's the most liberating experience of my life. And then you walk on over to the kiosk and then you look at the memories you created when you let go, right? And that's a perfect analogy of what this is like. The photos are a side effect of the roller coaster. Do you see?
Yeah.
So that's how this is so different to photography at large.
And really, I guess it's finding that comfort and that mindset, you know, to be the real them, isn't it, in that moment and not even think about the camera.
Yeah. And that takes, it's not as hard as you may think. The feedback I get from everybody is that was way easier than I thought it was going to be. And what we often do, and for things we're scared of, there's an element of fear. It's our brains trying to protect us. It's telling us there's a tiger waiting for you in that room. Don't go in there. You know, it's just assuming the worst case scenario. Last time we checked, which was about a year ago now, 63% of people do this a second time. Okay. So, like, no one dies, right? But our brain's telling us, well, that must be the most scariest, most, because I'm not comfortable in my body. So how could I possibly be comfortable in my body in front of a man off the internet who's holding a camera in his hand? That's impossible. Except it's the complete opposite. There's actually such a strong degree of ownership and liberation and empowerment in being in that space and loving yourself. And then it goes on, you take that feeling and those memories, and you utilize them to do other things in your life. So that could be going for that job interview, going on that date, you know, breaking up with your partner. Like, I've had all this feedback after people leave that space without even seeing their photographs. So that's the power of this. It's phenomenal. And I'm not just saying it because I'm biased. Like, it is really powerful stuff.
And not all photographers are made alike, are they, Mervyn? Like, no. I've dealt with quite a few in my career, and I have found an amazing one here in Brisbane. Shout out to Eros, he's amazing. But everyone who sees my most recent photo shoot, they're just like, my gosh, you look so powerful and so polished. And I'm like, that's just because I owned the space. I knew exactly what I wanted, and we had a purpose, we had a goal. And some photographers have this, I don't know, it's this knack of really capturing the spark in someone, you know, their spirit. And it looks like you can do that too, you know, like that moment when you said people let go and they, the real them shines through. And the other people I've gone on to recommend this photographer to have had the same result. Like, they just absolutely shine. Like, and that could be boring corporate photo shoots, but they still absolutely shine. And it's just it's just this skill, isn't it, that people can pull that light out of someone.
I think it comes from being a people person first. I think, and that's something that you can teach, but it's, if you have it innately, then it's a lot easier for you to do your job. I'm a people person first, photographer second. So if you, okay, for example, this year, what we're introducing is, once you've had your session, in whatever capacity that is, because it doesn't have to be nude, you know, it can be anything you want. But because we're talking about body confidence, if you said to me, okay, I'm massively insecure about my tummy, and then you came in wearing this huge baggy jumper, I'm going to say, okay, how are we going to challenge this and get you to love your tummy, right? So we do challenge a little bit to sort of have a degree of exposure, so to speak, for you to get to love that thing. But ultimately, at large, you can wear anything you want. Now, what we're doing this year is offering people the chance so that at the end of their session, when they're high as a kite, then we tell them to go and put their corporate gear back on, or wear a nice outfit if they want to get some photos for their dating profile, because that's where you get the sparkle in their eye. That's where you can't fake that, you know? And, you know, whenever I do talks or keynotes or even sometimes podcasts, people want the hack. Mervyn, tell us how we can look good on camera.
Yeah.
Right? And they just want the quick and easy fix. I don't know what you want me to say to, you know, several hundred thousand people at large, that there's this one size fits all pose that we all, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, there is no hack. The hack is really start from an internal space. If you want to look confident in a photograph, think about a time when you last felt confident. Yeah. See if you can replay that feeling when your boss said, well done for that presentation, or, you know, you climbed a mountain, for example. You know, like there's lots that you've overcome, greater than a photo shoot, half naked, I might add, you know, that you can utilize as a form of a source of fuel for such moments. And that could be happiness, you know, like, I could go on a day about it, but you get the point I'm making.
Yeah. And, I love that you mentioned dating shots there, because my Lord, does the world need some help with that, can I just say.
I agree.
Mervyn, the apps I've been on, and I swear to God, so, like, the shots that some women have on there, I am just like, oh, my Lord, please, you know? What kind of tips would you, and I'm going to ask you the question, what kind of tips would you give to, I'm going to point out women here. I know men love to stand there with a fish, but we're not going to talk about that. women in particular who are on the dating apps, and they want a great shot that's going to get someone's attention. What's your tips for them being able to even capture that themselves?
So let's start from agreeing that we're not going to try and fake it. Like, I think when you're like going into a headspace or a moment, and you're like, right, well, I've got to take some photos for this dating app, so I best, I've got to look sexy, I guess, or confident, or whatever the case may be, and you try and fake it. Now, we as humans, we're not stupid. We've been on this planet for some time. Be it you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever it is, you can see past someone who's just giving you, you know, trying to, you know, versus someone who's authentically happy in that moment. You said it yourself with the photographs from your shoot with Eros. Eros, he said his name was?
Yeah.
So firstly, if you're going for happy, let's go for happy. One, you can either try and get yourself feeling happy. Maybe you dance alone in your bedroom to your favorite song and then take your photos, right? Or if you're trying to go for a bit more, I don't know, sultry is not the right word. Let's go for confidence. Let's go for confident, yeah? Maybe you walk around your apartment in your underwear, you know, like, and you do your sassy walk and you, I don't know, whatever it is that makes you feel confident. It might be a particular outfit. It might be, you know, after you've had your hair done, after you've had your nails done, everyone's different. You know, there's no one size fits all, but you are ultimately trying to encapsulate the feeling that you want to put across in your images first before you go and start taking these pictures. Yeah. From a technical perspective, make sure it's well lit. Make eye contact with the camera. I cannot tell you that enough. Like the selfies that we see, you know, you have someone with their phone and they're looking over here at the phone like that, you know, like you're over there, Bindi. Like I'm not connecting with you, you know? It's so common. Like just make eye contact with the camera. Those are the two key tips I'd give.
Yeah. There we go, everyone. You're on notice. I don't want to see any more of the other stuff. Seriously, I'm done.
Thank you.
Now, I'm sure you've had many women who've come to you and they're just racked with fear, you know, like just like, oh, man, I don't want to get my kid off because, you know, I've got stretch marks, I've got dimples, I've got all kinds of stuff going on and I'm not a size 8, you know. How do you get them to a point of comfort that they actually want to expose themselves?
Well, I think firstly, there's got to be a desire.
Mm.
If you come along, you're like, well, there's no way I'm ever getting in a room with that guy. Like, I'm not going to try and convince you, you know, like first there has to be if someone inquires or they book a call with me, I know that there's a desire somewhere deep down, even if they're terrified and they think it's impossible for them, there is a desire that they want to get to that point. So that's the first bit. The second bit is I need to find out what's happening. Now, what happens at large here is I think cognitively, we all know other people have stretch marks and we all know other people have issues with their bodies that they're not comfortable with. But emotionally, we isolate ourselves with it. Mm. We think we're the only people that could possibly understand what that feels like to have that. So I try and like get them to understand that what they're feeling is actually common as muck, whatever it is. I've worked with over 650 people now. I've seen it all and I've heard it all. And that's not to downplay or undermine what they're going through. I want to make that really clear.
Mm.
But it's just to let them, make them feel a bit more comfortable in the fact that they're not alone with that, right?
Mm.
So if I can say to them, hey, yeah, I've worked with someone who's got an eating disorder hundreds of times, or I've worked with someone who has vitiligo loads of times, whatever it is they're bringing, if I can give them some reassurances, and then you see the shoulders drop, they're like, okay, right? And then I then speak to their fears before they do. So I'll say things to them like, hey, I don't know, before the makeup artist leaves, we'll make sure that you're feeling comfortable before, you know, they do, because then it'll just be you and I. And we sign a contract, by the way, to make sure you're comfortable being alone with that space. And I will sign that contract as well, because you could be crazy too, you know, and I make these jokes, right? And you know, I just make the experience a human one, you know, and one where, and the feedback I got off my last shoot on Friday was she went, I've got a WhatsApp group. Well, I'm not really in it. I'm there, but I don't really use it. But it's for people that are booking or have had a shoot and they all just support each other through the experience because they all go in and terrified. What should I wear? What should I do? And she went into the group on Friday saying it was like hanging out with your best mate.
Mm.
You know, it was just such an incredible experience. And that's how I try to get it to be. And it's genuine. I sit and we have a coffee and I talk. I want to learn about your life. How many kids do you have? And so on. And that's how it happens. It's just step by step by step. And oftentimes they're leading those steps. So that's how it happens.
Amazing. For you, what would you say has been the most memorable shoot for you?
Oh, that's an easy one. This one was about, I'd say about 2 years ago. And so what happens, Bindi, is when they inquire, or when they book actually, they get a questionnaire from me. And one of the questions is, how far do you want to go? So you can go from conservative, think like pajamas, robe, that kind of thing, all the way up to nudity, right? And I say to them, look, whatever you tick at this point, thick line in the sand, we do not go past that point. As far as I'm concerned, if you tell me your limit is lingerie, I'm not going to be, hey, Bindi, you might want to take your bra off now. That's not going to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. From a consent perspective, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, what does happen often is 9 times out of 10, people want to go past what they think they're capable of when they're sat on their sofa or on their iPad, right? Mm-hmm. In that space, they feel so heightened that they just think anything's possible for them. So in this particular case, this person, she ticked the box of conservative and she came into the space and opened up her suitcase and pulled out all these, like, you know, big baggy jumpers and robes and that kind of thing. She said, you're not going to get any skin out of me, which I was completely fine with. Don't need it. By the end of the session, she was doing star jumps, butt naked,
wow. Right?
And her boobs are clapping in the air like that. The most amazing thing to witness, and not just because of the star jumps. I mean, it was the transition. It was seeing her go past what she thought she was capable of. And that's the thing. Bindi, this is the thing that happens every single time. We don't know what we're capable of until we're in that space. But we tell ourselves what we think we're capable of. We try to preempt, but we've never experienced it. So how do you know? So in her case, she did these star jumps and I caught this shot of her midair, right? And I mean, everything's on show, right? I want to make that very clear, midair. And it was not a flattering picture at all, but it was a memory. And I want to point that out. That's also very important here.
Mm.
She came into the office some weeks later and I showed her the picture and we fell about laughing. But she then cried. And she cried because she said to me, that's the most free I've ever felt in my body in my life.
Wow.
And that is the importance here. I think someone who isn't attached to that emotion would delete that picture immediately because it's not flattering. We were in this habit of, oh, I don't like that photo, delete it.
Mm.
But in that moment, she bought it, and that is the thing that will now help her to live. She will now go on holidays and wear a bikini or a swimsuit at the beach, and she will now date again and so on because she can feel a bit more at peace with her body and feel more free in it. And that is the power of all of this.
Mm, it's more than a photograph, isn't it? Like, I'm curious to know as well. I know for me, a similar thing has happened where you see a photo of yourself and you go, oh, crikey. It's either good or bad. And you just go, and you kind of stop in your tracks and, it changes your perception of yourself to a point where you want to change something. And have you seen that happen to women where they've seen all of their glory and then they've gone, I can do better?
Mm. So, yes. And what I try to preempt for anyone that comes to see the photo is that it can go both ways. It's important that you know that this moment, this millisecond in time, whilst you can either celebrate it or you can loathe it, it is a millisecond in time. Let's be clear on that. It is not a representation of who you are in the world because there are billions of milliseconds and this one does not represent your entire life, right? Let's be clear on that. The other thing I like to do is a little game where I effectively write out some sums. Let's see if we can imagine this. I write out 1 + 1 = 2. Okay, see if you can do this in your mind, Bindi, okay? Mm-hmm. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. 4 + 4 = 8. 5 + 5 = 12. And I write this down on a piece of paper and I say, right, have a look at this. What stands out here? And everyone, like clockwork, tells me the last one's wrong, right? Which is the right answer. But not a single person, Bindi, tells me the first four are correct.
We always look at the flaws.
We have negativity bias. Mm. Yeah. When we're looking at a photograph or looking in the mirror, all we're looking for is the thing that is wrong, the imperfections. We bypass 80% of all that is totally fine on average, and we just hone in, and then we think that percentage is the representation of our entire lives.
Mm.
Boy, are we skewed.
Wow. Wow. And the other thing I'm curious about for you, Instagram and things like Pinterest and the impact that they've had in our conditioning to the way we think we should look. I know there's a trend going around here in Australia at the moment. I'm not sure if it's anywhere else, but young school girls are like heavily into skincare to the point where it's actually damaging their skin because they see it on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. But the filters, you know, they're this, you know, this umbrella over our reality. And for some part of our mind and our perception, we think, yeah, that's how I look. And then they put it out on the socials and they go, look how hot I am. When it's a filter. You know, you were saying you don't use Photoshop or anything like that. Mm. Like, that, there's so much conditioning that these filters and things have done to us, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah. It's a scary thing to let go of it. It's a bit like a cloak, isn't it? Like a sort of invisibility cloak. It's like you get in the world to see you in a way that you get to determine. It's a pandemic as such, and I don't want to overplay that word, but it is from a beauty perspective because, you know, there are studies that have been proven, it's been proven where teenagers don't recognize themselves in the mirror because of how frequently they see themselves filtered. And that is terrifying. I think, I don't know what the answer is when it comes to that age group and that generation, if I'm honest. I think there needs to be some sort of, and there are regulations actually being in play in certain countries around what's being put out there. And if there's filters, they now have to say, there's now a little stamp or something on the picture or the video to say there's a filter applied here. You know, I doubt that's going to make much difference to a 13-year-old or 14-year-old who's going to say, ah, well, I'm not going to use that filter then, you know, like I think they still will. And I actually don't know the answer. I'm not a professional in that particular space. What I will say is, at large, all of us, adults and teenagers alike, we have a responsibility as to what we consume. So I have gone into, you know, spaces, corporations, done keynotes, and people have said, oh, social media is the problem. I'm like, oh, well, who forced you to follow Kim Kardashian? Did someone take your hand and make you hit that follow button? Right? Let's have some responsibility here. Like, if it's bad for you, don't consume it. We know that. It's the same with our diet. It's the same with the things we watch on TV. If you can feel it's having a negative impact, what are you going to do about it? So let's start there. Yes, regulations and legislations, absolutely. But let's not fall back on the powers at large to help us, to sort us out. We can do that ourselves. You know, that's my thought around it. And look, also, being really honest, age and experience. I had a woman who, for her 40th birthday, went and had a photo shoot, and she put this big photo up on her wall of her, and she loved it, but she said she was Photoshopped to head and back, you know? And she said she loved it, but as she grew a little bit older, she came to resent it because she realized that's not me. And then for her 50th birthday, she booked me 10 years later, and then she replaced it with a photo of her, which was her authentic self. So I think there's something in, you know, just having to go through some of these phases. You know, I think there's something in that. It's, I would like to think for most people, a phase.
And, you know, I love the fact that you don't Photoshop the hell out of things. And also my photographer doesn't either. I remember I was so eager to see, you know, the shots, and I said to him, oh, look, can you just, you know, send me a couple so I can see how it went? And, like, whilst he was showing me stuff on the camera, like, that afternoon he's sending me stuff and he hadn't even touched it up yet. And I was like, well, do these even need touching up? Like, you know, and so really, because we had this joke during it. Again, I'm a little bit self-deprecating to a point where I said, okay, well, got any tips for me to get rid of the chicken neck? And anyway, it's there in all its glory in some of the photos. And you know what? I don't care. I really don't care. Yeah. And he helped me embrace that. But it's just, it's just like standing in your truth and your power in that moment, that's what other people see.
Oh, no one's like, hey, they don't see this part of your body and then decide to not be friends with you because of it, you know, like, or, you know, and again, like, it's a beautiful thing. We, people come in here and see their images, and they're more terrified, Bindi, about coming in to see their images than the session. I want to make that very clear. They are more nervous about seeing the photographs. And we go through tons of tissue. Look, I'm showing you some tissue here, right? Loads of the stuff because they just can't believe it's possible. And the beauty of it is not just how great the photos are. The beauty of it is that they're not seeing the insecurity. They can see their confidence. They're like, oh my God, look how confident I look. And I say, oh, so you haven't noticed that insecurity that you said you were terrified of being shown on camera? And they're like, oh my goodness, you can see it in the photo. I'm like, yes, you can. Mm. And it is also possible that you can love it. Like, that is where we turn a corner. And that's the most beautiful part of this work. It's that. Oh.
And really, a lot of this stuff comes from our own self-judgment, doesn't it? Like, again, back to conditioning, but our own self-judgment, you know, like when you were saying before, you know, everybody has got stretch marks, whether they want to admit it or not, unless you're, you know, bloody perfect. I'd love to meet you. But, you know, we are human. We are unique. There's no one like us, and that's our superpower. And the moment we realize that, like, we just got to accept it. You know, this is the only one body we're given, right?
Totally. I always say, you know, we think that the most confident people are the ones who have a perfect body, whatever that looks like, or they can wear the red dress, or the ones who are the loudest in the party. I've met hundreds and hundreds of people and worked with, like, I can't even tell you. The most confident people on the planet are the ones who have looked over the cliff edge of life. They have had some sort of challenge, a disease or something threat in their life, or something like amputees, those who are marginalized by society, those who have a skin condition, those who have alopecia, have lost all their hair, those that don't fit in, they are the ones who actually are living. We're the lucky ones, Bindi. We're the lucky ones. Or in a way, unlucky, because we haven't had it challenged yet. We think what we're going through is hard, yeah? But actually, the hardship is when you have this thing forced upon you and you have to overcome it and then learn to appreciate life, you know? We have it easy, you know?
And in comparison,
you
know
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most perfect people that we see, you know, I don't want to pinpoint the Kardashians or anybody like that, but, you know, I've sat down with many people who walk the red carpets of Hollywood, and I know that they're, you know, like absolutely killing themselves with anxiety over how they look every single second, you know?
Yeah.
And they're putting this picture out to the world that they're perfect. Meanwhile, they're off in the corner crying. It's, you know, it's just not what it seems.
I totally agree.
Mm.
I totally agree. The people that have the body type or have the looks that we associate with confidence are the least confident. Like every time, consistently, the least confident that I get to meet. And it's the ones who we think, wow, how do you go out in that thing? You know, London is a beautiful place in that you can be whoever you want to be here. You know, like you dress however you want to dress, be whoever you want, no one cares, you know, and it's a beautiful thing for that. So, you know, I had a client once from Greece, and she was a curvy woman, and she said, you know, I moved to London because in Greece I was just marginalized. I was being bullied. People were pointing at me.
Where?
You know, I was just, I had a body type that was just so different. And she said, I came to London, and the first day I got here, there was a woman bigger than me wearing hot pants, you know, and I was like, yeah, there you go, you know, welcome. And you are, and again, going back to what I was saying earlier about feeling isolated in what you're going through, if you can surround yourself with people that look like you, who have gone through a similar life experience, and the same with social media, follow people who resonate with what you're going through. If you are a curvy girl, follow the curvy girls and you'll get some confidence from them. I'll tell you that, you know, if you have a skin condition, if you are a divorcee, if you are co-parenting, whatever it is, forget the Kardashians. Forget whatever TV program's popular right now. Seek some inspiration from those people that have paved the way for what you're going through so you can follow in their footsteps and gain something from that.
And then turn around and be your own inspiration.
Then that too. And then you'll then inspire those behind you. You start sharing that story with your friends. You're like, hey, you know, you'll be at dinner with some mates and you start talking about, you know what, I'm thinking about wearing hot pants tomorrow for the first time in my life. What do you think? And one of your friends would no doubt say, oh my goodness, I wore hot pants for the first time 5 years ago. It was the most liberating thing ever, you know, whatever. You know, be the voice, be the inspiration, because you've done it before and you can do it again.
What would you say has been your most seen photo?
Oof. There was a picture of a woman, actually. And, you know, it's one of those things, Bindi, unless you do it, you won't understand what I'm on about. And I say to all my clients who get to the end of the process, I say, right, if I could, what could we say to you before you started this that would get you aligned with what you're feeling now? And everyone says nothing. There's nothing you could have said to me to make me understand this feeling. So I want to start by saying that. There was a woman who came in and, again, showed up nervous, went through the whole experience, left high as a kite. Now, before she left, she had this idea that she wanted to go outside. She was a nature body. You know, she loved the outdoors. But we were in the center of London, literally by the Thames. She's like, I want to go outside. Well, I was like, well, Tower Bridge is right there. You know, and I said it as half a joke. She was like, okay, let's do it then. And so we went out. And we walked along, she was fully clothed, and we walked along the bridge, and we got to about the beginning part of the bridge, and she stripped off right there and then, right? And went into her underwear and was posing down the middle of the road, and there's this amazing photograph of Tower Bridge right behind her. She's on Tower Bridge itself, and there are black taxis passing her by, and she's just smiling and in love with herself, and you can see it. She couldn't care less what anybody else thought. And I think that's probably a photograph that people often tell me they've seen and how they've heard about me. And it's an incredible, such a powerful image.
And that's just left me speechless, just the thought of it in that setting. You know, you call your business You at Yours. I found my photo shoot that I had, the second one, was done right here at my home. And it looks like it's in a studio. You would not know.
Yeah.
Do you generally do them in people's homes, or do you have a studio, or how does it normally work?
So you're right. You're spot on. I find – so You at Yours, when we started, it was about doing it in people's homes.
Mm.
That was the goal. And as the years have rolled by, we found that there is benefit to doing it at home, many benefits actually. And I'll go through them very briefly. It's – the fact that you are already confident in that space, you know it really well, right? Then there's a dynamic of me coming into your space. So you are higher than me in that regard versus you coming into my space and feeling like, you know, you need to be told what to do, you know? And then access to your wardrobe in case you change your mind, you know, you don't have the stress of traveling anywhere, you know, there's so much benefit. The key benefit, especially in my line of work, is when you look at these photographs in 10 to 20 years time, you'll say, ah, that was my home in wherever I lived versus this space that this tall guy off the internet took me to somewhere in East London, you know, like, because you just won't resonate or relate to it as much as when it's in your own home, and you'll never look at the dining table the same way again, you know?
Like, no, true.
So, and yeah, you're right. Again, like with being at home, you know, often people want to come into my space because they don't think their homes are photography worthy. And I challenge that. And I say, let's do it in your home, irrelevant of what it looks like, because that's who you are. We're celebrating you. It's the same as not photoshopping and filtering. Let's capture your essence. You know, okay, tidy up a bit, please. Yeah, that'd be great. But generally, you will relate to these photographs more if you do it at home, and you'll be freer in your essence, in your spirit, because you know the space really well. So we don't get as many bookings for home shoots post COVID. Like before COVID, we got a lot more, but since then, I guess people are a bit more, I don't know, protective of their spaces, maybe. I'm not sure. But yeah, there's been a shift. But yeah, about 65% of people, 70% do it with us in our space. And then the rest do it at home, with a small percentage still opting to go outside. But we don't suggest outdoors unless you've done it before. You have to have already done it to get that experience. Because it's like me saying to someone I've never met on a Zoom call, okay, meet me in the woods.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
I'll bring my camera. Right, you know, like you have to already know me and have a sense of familiarity for us to do that together, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I was just lucky because, you know, sometimes my dining room looks like a day spa, so I kind of got away with that. And I have like a red brick house. So we did like a grungy nice. Feel one with like a guitar and leather and everything. And I went out against nice. A brick wall. I'm like, yep, this will do it. So nice. It was like we were in That's several amazing. Different places, but it was in the one house. So it's amazing what you can do with creativity, isn't it?
Honestly, I've shot for like 2 hours in someone's student halls, like just a tiny room, you know. But in my mind, there's a bed, there's a floor, there's a wall, you know, there's the hallway. Like, you've got loads to work with. So, yeah, make it work as a photographer. That's the joy of it, the creativity.
And that's what I love about people who are really creative. They look at things differently. And I reckon you're one of those people too, Mervyn, where you look at a room and it's not just a room.
Oh, no, there's photos everywhere. You know, you'll get tired of it with being a photographer because everywhere's a photo opportunity.
And
you just have to learn to just not get any sort of FOMO because you can't, you know. Just walking down the street like, oh, my goodness, that would be a great place for photos. I have a folder on my phone where I take a photo of a place. If I come across it, I'm coming back here. I'm coming back here, you know.
I love that. Right. Now, Mervyn, if someone's listening to us and they're like, you know, I've always thought about doing a boudoir shoot and getting nude. What's your first piece of advice for them if they want to take that leap?
Great question. The first thing I'd say is wherever you are in the world, even if it's not me, you want to really make sure that person is really invested in you and your journey and your safety. Actually, safety is a key one. If they're happy to just take your money and tell you where to show up and you get your kit off and you take some pictures, yes, you'll get some photos of your ass up in the air. Good for you. But you won't connect with those images. It would just be a matter of, okay, Susan, turn your head like this, put your right hand like that, you know, shift like this, snap, 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 here are your photographs. If that's all you want, go for it. But if you want an experience, that person needs to be finding out who you are, where you're from, why do you want to do this, right? If they're not asking you these questions, run a mile. Yeah, that's my advice, firstly. Also then think, you know, for yourself, why do you want to do it? Are you looking to get photographs for validation purposes? Is this for a partner? Are you trying to get some photos for Instagram? If those are the factors, again, I would advise you don't. Yeah? Like, we're not doing this for other people. We're doing this for ourselves. Even if it's your partner's birthday or you've got an anniversary coming up, we start with ourselves, right? They will benefit as a side effect of us celebrating ourselves, I promise. Yeah? But if you're doing it because you want to learn to love your body, you want to celebrate where you're at now in your body today, because I know for a fact, if you looked at a photograph of yourself 10 years ago, you would have wished you looked like that now. Yeah, and back then you weren't happy. Yeah. So let's stop that cycle. And if we can learn that lesson today, let's celebrate ourselves today. So we don't wait another 10 years and look back at 2024 and say, hey, I should have celebrated myself then. So really get in line with why you want to do it. And then I'd say, know that it's going to be terrifying and know that you can overcome it. And actually, it's just a scary thing that is not going to harm you and actually will be really beneficial to your life. Like, we've not had a single person not love their images or not say that this has had a positive impact on their lives, not just the photographs, but their lives. So that's worth investing in, you know. And also, I want to shout out to the mums. In fact, as I say investing, this is for the mothers listening. It is not selfish for you to put yourself first. I want to make that really clear. Other people benefit, including your children, if you put yourself first. If you are a more confident, more self-secure person in your body, you're stopping the cycle of that self-deprecating voice that your kids are then going to hear and they're going to pick up on and they're going to have body images too. Body image issues too, forgive me, right? So if we break that cycle by learning some self-love, you benefit everyone in your life, not just your children. So I want to really shout out the mums because they're the ones that are inspiring the future generation.
And you'd also get some pregnant mums too, wouldn't you? Because a lot of women nowadays are opting for pregnancy shoots before they give birth. And I know a lot of their internal monologue sometimes is, oh, I just feel so fat, I look disgusting, when it can actually be a really beautiful process, can't it?
Oh, totally. Pregnancy shoots are a really fascinating one for me because, again, I made the point earlier about, you know, the reason why you do this. Pregnancies, weddings coming up, someone's birthday, there's usually a catalyst. Mm. There's a reason. Someone's always wanted to do it deep down, but there's a reason they need to justify it, mm. right? Now, pregnancy is an interesting one because what people want to do is they want to hide behind the belly. Mm. They want it to be all about this unborn baby and they're standing there holding their stomach. And it's lovely and it's beautiful, except my job is to empower the person, the human, the woman. You're becoming a mother and that's something we can celebrate. But we also need to make sure we don't lose yourself mm. in that process. That's an easy thing. Mothers will tell you all over the place how it's so easy to lose yourself to motherhood. My job is to celebrate you, the woman. So when you come in, we're going to see the bump. You can't hide it, yeah. right? There's going to be a bump there. But let's celebrate you in your body in this moment in your life, right? As you, the person, not the expectant mother. Mm. Yeah. Again, that's a side effect. So, you know, I've had people come in and they're fearful of losing themselves. They don't want to lose their sexuality. They don't want to lose their femininity, terrified of losing themselves.
Mm.
So my job is to encapsulate that, to remind them that whether you have a tummy that's got a baby brewing in it or not, you are still this phenomenal person, you know, and that's the goal. So I kind of come at it a bit differently. You know, I know I'm a bit different in that regard, but I think when you niche down and you call out to the people that you want to serve, they will find you. So I'm very resolute in that. You know, if you mm. want the ethereal shots of you holding the stomach and everything's about the stomach, I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, what I want is you smiling, dancing, laughing, or being extremely erotic if that's what you so choose. Even if you're pregnant, that's okay.
Mm.
You know, we're celebrating you as who you are. That's fine. So yeah, that's my stance.
What an amazing human you are, Mervyn.
Thank you, Bindi. So, what an amazing thing to say. Thank you.
Now, mate, if people want to find out more about you and get in touch with you and find out all about the shoots that you do, where can they go?
Type in you at yours anywhere on the internet and I think you'll find me, other than Snapchat. But I'm pretty much everywhere. Which is not an easy feat, by the way. Show me some love. It's not easy to be everywhere all at the same time, but we try. I'd say that if you really want to get to know me, hang out on Instagram. Come and find me there. You'll see me on my stories. I'm always chatting rubbish. And then if you're thinking about booking, we have a form that you can fill in without typing in your name. It can be completely anonymous and it will just tell you, will this benefit you based on where you are in your life right now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's youatyours.com/boost, okay? And you type in that, fill it in, and then at the end it will say, this isn't for you, right? Or it will say, this is going to change your life, okay? And then you can decide at that point whether you want to go on and learn more or not, okay?
I'm glad you do that and you don't just open slather for everyone. You actually make sure it's the right thing for them. That's amazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to protect my time. I don't want to head to a session that I'm dreading because someone just wants some photos for their boyfriend or whatever the case may be, you know.
There's only one of you. We can't do that. Now, I got the last big question for you. What's the change you'd like to see in the world and how can we bring it to life?
Oh, great question. I touched on it earlier and it's something I'm so passionate about. And that is, I guess, a sense of community.
Mm.
We each suffer. We all suffer in some way or another with something that we think only we hold. And it could be anything from a bout of depression to a body image issue to our hair falling out, whatever it is. You know, there are millions of other people going through the exact same thing in this very moment, no matter what it is, in this very moment. I remember engage with me here, Bindi, because what's just come up for me really strongly was I completely forgot about this moment till just now. My grandfather passed away and he was my best friend. This is a few years ago. And he passed away in this hospice. And what they do, it's a beautiful thing. About a month or so after someone passes, they invite the family back in and you can bring a photograph and you can light a candle and you can share a story or two about this individual that you may have lost. And I saw these people. I had no intention of stepping up and sharing. I just wanted to be in the room and listen to stories. And I watched these people who were grieving. They had this loss, holes in their heart, one after the other. And I felt compelled, because my grandfather would have done this, and I felt compelled, and I did it. I was so brave. I stood up in this room, and I said, hey, my grandfather would have been really proud of me for doing this. And I said to everybody in that space, I said, hey, is it possible for us to each, in this room, acknowledge that there are other people in this space who are going through the same thing as us right now? Let's all meet afterwards and sit and have a coffee and see if we can help each other with our grieving. Let's see if we can actually unite in this feeling so we don't feel alone with that. You know, that's the thing, Bindi. That's the thing I want for us all, to just be a little bit braver and say to our fellow man, hey, I'm suffering with this thing. Help me.
Mm. That's a bit of a theme that I've seen through the show, you know, that we do have unity in our loss and in our struggle.
Mm.
And that's just another example. We're all one, and we're all unique but yet the same.
Yeah.
Mervyn, you've been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for being a part of the Ethical Evolution.
Thank you for having me, Bindi. What a great conversation. I really appreciate you shining a light on what I do and just, yeah, trusting me to even be here. You're amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're ready to be the change and would love to work with me on finding your voice through spiritual coaching or creating your own podcast with impact, visit ethicalchangeagency.com. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's growing every day with great content and highlights you may not have heard on the podcast. In addition, please subscribe to the podcast on Spotify or Apple, and why not leave a 5-star review? If you're not following me on social media, you can find me at Ethical Change Agency on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube, and at DJ Bindi on TikTok and Instagram. If you're interested in diving deeper into the ethical evolution with me, I've created a membership program that allows me to bring you more in-depth exclusive content without relying on paid ads. My goal is to deliver members way more value than the cost of the subscription. Benefits include Ask Me Anything episodes. I've interviewed hundreds of people from around the world, so imagine what you could ask. Access exclusive bonus content only for members that focuses on the downloads I get through my conversations that include actionable tips. Support Ethical Change Agency and the Ethical Evolution podcast on its mission to amplify change makers who make the world a better place. Access to global connections who can help you make greater impact in the world. Meditate with me and discounted spiritual coaching or podcast consulting with me at 15% off. That value alone pays for your membership. For only $7 a month or $70 a year, you can access all these benefits of an Ethical Evolution Emergence membership. If you want to learn more and access these benefits, head on over to ethicalchangeagency.com.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Pact podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Pact podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Hi, I'm Lisa Gaudette, host of Her Extraordinary Life by Design podcast, where we celebrate women who are shaping their lives one extraordinary day at a time. I speak with women from all over the world about what they do and how they are passionately pursuing their dreams and creating meaningful impacts on their communities. So come join us and learn about all there is to learn about these extraordinary women. Electric Acid.